listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 128. Kayla Lortz here with the one, the only, the recently vaping his head off, John Brownstone. And squeaking. Don't forget the squeaking. No, don't squeak. It's his chair, y'all. He himself is not a squeaker.
I'm creaky.
Yes. Yes, you are. Okay. I'm going to do a show now.
Okay.
Okay. This week, we're goofballs who happen to be talking about BDSM safety. And for once, we're not specifically discussing safe words.
Like, no.
I don't have that in my notes at all, actually.
Wow.
I know. Welcome to the...
You've pulled out the safety net.
Oh, God. We're going to do a show now, right? We just lost half the audience because I'm 1 minute in and we're into a pun already. Okay, I'm going to do a show now. Okay, we'll try this again. Oh, and there's the squeak. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, or on Instagram at that handle I hate, LovingDS, and the number one, LovingDS1. All links are in the show notes. So, I don't have announcements.
Oh, okay.
I know. I did email our kinky fuckery members. So if you are a kinky fuckery member and you are listening on the day this episode actually goes live, which is May 4th, and you have not gotten an email from us, check your spam. But other than that, no announcements. We're pretty good. This week we are talking about BDSM safety, specifically safe, sane, consensual rack and prick, which I always feel very strange saying, because in my mind, prick is an insult, not an acronym. But the the topic suggestion came from Little Rara, and I did get confirmation. It's Rara, not all the things we were trying to call her. So yeah, I was looking through our list of suggestions and our other list of topics, and I was like, yeah, I think we could talk about that.
Okay.
Which, here's what's funny, and I'm gonna put this out there right at the beginning so everybody knows where we stand.
Right.
We are safe, sane, consensual followers. That's our
right. Well, thing. when I first came into the lifestyle, that was the thing.
Right. That's all there was. That's all we talked about.
Safe, sane, and consensual. It wasn't until after you moved here and we went to the club that I was introduced, or we were introduced, to rack.
Right, and then it was just after that, which means that rack had been around for a while. But when you don't need a piece of information or care about a piece of information, which at the time, if you're with us, we're following SSC. We're safe, safe, consensual. Why would we go looking for anything else? So it had been around for a while, but we weren't aware of it. But right on the heels of learning about rack, we learned about prick. And I've had a mental block on prick for a long time, for up until this week, including this week. Every time I had to, like, define prick, I understood the concept, but I always had to go look up the acronym so that we're all talking about the same things. SSC, which I'm not going to say a million times, I'm going to say safe, sane, consensual. That's the one we follow. That's sort of the original
base kind
of
thing.
If you're going to talk about, oh, how do you play, or what is BDSM for you, or what's the... I called it in the blog post this week where we defined these things.
Right.
And so if you're like, what are these things? What exactly do they mean? Link is in the show notes to that blog post. You can read that, get a little bit more information. But safe, sane, consensual, I called it a safety philosophy.
Right.
Because essentially that's what it is. So SSC, or safe, sane, consensual. The next one is RAC, risk-aware, consensual, kink.
Right.
See, you were about to mess it up.
Yep.
And then prick is personal responsibility, informed, consensual, kink. So the
See, that's a new one to me.
Oh yeah, it's not. I see it more now, and I certainly see it more now because we actually talk about these things and think about these things as part of what we do. So I see it, but I think safe, sane, and consensual is probably still the standard most, not the standard, that's not the most popular option, because it is the original. It is what most people who have been in the lifestyle for, you know, forever will say. And so if you're new and you're coming up and you've got somebody who's, you know, 30 years in the lifestyle and they go safe, sane, and consensual, that's what you know. Right. But I do see more and more people using prick. They are all just evolutions of each other, yeah. Essentially.
I mean, when I first heard rack, I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. I mean, because there, with any kink that you do, there is a risk.
And you need to be aware of said risk.
You need to be aware of it, you know, and... It brought over the consensual.
And then the kink.
And then the kink.
And I think so here's the thing. If you're discovering these things as we discuss them for the very first time, let me also blow your mind a little bit. There's a lot of really heated conversations in the kink world about these philosophies.
Yeah.
They're just like anything else. You see it in any field, in any industry, in any niche, in any topic. I've seen people nearly go to blows in the yes. diet world over this diet versus that diet. It is the same in kink when we're talking safety. There are people who, with a straight face, will look at somebody like us who says, no, we follow safe, sane, and consensual, and tell us we are irresponsible kinksters yes. because of it. Like, there are some really strong feelings. If you're new to the loving BDSM place, we're not like that, and we don't really tolerate the, you know, don't at me on something, but not in a negative way, I mean, but you can be all about rack, you can be all about prick. All I ultimately care about is that you are playing in a way that is safe and consensual for both you and your partner.
Right.
So pick, ultimately this conversation is going to come down to pick the one that suits you best. And then if we're not going to kink shame, we're not going to safety shame either.
No,
you know?
No.
As long as people are playing safely, or safe in their relationships, that's really all that matters.
Matters, yes. That's the bottom line.
Right. And so I've been thinking about this week, since I knew this was our topic, about why safe, sane, and consensual has stayed with us the whole time. And I think it is more than, oh, that's what we know, so we stick with it. Because I have seen people, you know, change over time. They're like, oh, I was with safe, sane, and consensual because that was the standard. That's what we were taught. Oh, well, I like rack. Oh, well, I like prick.
Mm-hmm.
You get to like whatever you like, and that's cool. I always think safe, sane, and consensual works for you and I specifically because we are some of the most cautious people I've ever met
yeah.
in my life. We are not people who do things spontaneously. We are not people who do things without a shit ton of communication and deliberation and thought.
Research.
And quite frankly, I'm... probably doesn't come through very well through the podcast, but on a lot of levels, I'm really timid. I have a personal bubble thing. I've got a lot of anxieties. There's a lot in this world that does not sound safe or sane to me.
How in the world did you end up with me?
Oh, whatever. You are just like me. You're just mentally and emotionally healthier about it. That's the only difference. I need to go to therapy to sort through it all. You're like, I had a cup of coffee and smoked a cigar and I feel fine. I'm good at this. So, you know, there are people out there who would relate completely to that. And they're like, yeah, my definition of sane is not, you know, I'm going to start chopping off limbs and playing on the, you know, edge between what is, you know, consensual and fun mm-hmm. and what is potentially harmful and illegal. Like, there are many of us who play and with really good boundaries, and our idea of safe and sane is not going to get us hurt, and so therefore yeah. safe, sane, and consensual works for us. But for I would imagine a variety of reasons, not just how we define safe and sane, other people want something more specific, and that's perfectly okay, because the question does have mm-hmm. to be asked, well, whose definition of safe are we going to use, and whose definition of sane? And if we are in a power exchange relationship and you say, as the dominant, well, I think this is safe and sane, and I'm over here as the submissive going, it is neither, no, you know, I could see there being problems in sort of that lopsided power exchange, or the one that's questionable and there's lots of red flags, or mm-hmm. you've got a new person who doesn't know enough yet, especially as a submissive, to feel strong enough to go, no, I'm not doing that, and you can't make me, and that's right. the end of it. So I certainly see where rack and prick would come from
mm-hmm.
and how we would get to that point, and why there are people who go, nope, safe, sane, consensual doesn't work for me. I'm going to pick one of these other two. And I do like the fact that in Prick, we spell out there's a personal responsibility. You, mm-hmm. as an autonomous human being, have to take personal responsibility for what you're about to do.
And that does make sense because you literally are taking on, you know, especially as a dominant, you're taking on an awful lot of responsibility.
Well, but as a submissive, there's sometimes when we're in fantasy land and we're trying to live the erotic fantasy in our head, mm-hmm. we're sitting back waiting for things to happen to us instead of being an active, engaged member of the conversation and the relationship. Right. And so therefore, there are submissives out there. Some have the potential to be great submissives and they just need more education. And some are probably not great submissives and they're here for something else. But mm-hmm. they don't know or understand yet, if ever, that they need to have some personal responsibility in this. And that they do.
Absolutely.
My cynical side, and I say this as somebody who has evolved since the first time I heard about Rack and Prick. Because I'm a sarcastic person by nature. When the first explanation I heard about why these things had to be spelled out and why it was better to say them out loud, my first sarcastic thought was, well, that makes sense. We have to put warning labels on shampoo bottles of not to ingest it.
Yes.
And we have to put warning labels on lawnmowers not to put your hand under the moving blade. So yeah, I guess we have to tell people. They have to have personal responsibility.
Yeah, I know.
That was my sarcastic initial response.
In my day, we didn't have Tide Pods. We just ate it right out of the box.
Stop. Stop. But I say that as if you are somebody who believes very firmly and strongly in Rack and Prick, and you get somebody who's been following Safe, Sane, and Consensual their entire kink life, and they look at you kind of funny, that could be the thing they're thinking too. It doesn't mean that they can't, you know, get behind it or support it. I certainly support it. I support it as... just like anything else, it's not what I need, but if it's what you need and that works for you, mm-hmm. then go for it. Absolutely. Right. Have at it. Just remember that those of us who are following Safe, Sane, and Consensual are probably not, you know, on the verge of hurting ourselves with every DS interaction or BDSM interaction. Most of us are probably fine too. But I was thinking of a few things in terms of, because I don't want this episode just to be a rehash of the blog post. That would be boring for everybody, including myself. So I was thinking of a few things. And one of the things that came to mind was, well, one thing I kind of just mentioned was the evolution over time. So I could easily see how somebody starts with Safe, Sane, Consensual, and then they go, mm-hmm. oh no, I think I like Rack. And then I can see it taking just one bad scene, one bad interaction, one bad negotiation. And I could see somebody go, nope, it's Prick for me. I feel better mm-hmm. with that. So I think that these things can change for a person over time. Everything you're doing in BDSM, whether it's in this DS relationship you're in or the evolution of all your DS relationships, or maybe you're in between partners or you haven't had a partner yet and so you're thinking of the future, everything that you do is going to inform your decisions in the future. And so if you come across that person who doesn't have the same definition of safe or sane that you do, then I could see where you'd go, nope, okay, inputting that information and the responses, yeah, we're going with Prick, okay? Inputting, you know, this really bad scene where this person didn't take personal responsibility, yep, sticking with Prick, I'm good. Or then you get into... a long-term relationship where you learn each other after months and years, you're very comfortable with one another. Yeah, maybe you have a safe word. Oops, I mentioned safe word. maybe you have a safe word, but you never use it. Maybe you negotiate in a really casual way now. Mm-hmm. You may find that in theory, like if you were going to talk to a brand new partner, you're thinking Prick. But in your current relationship, when you hear safe, sane, and consensual, you go, yeah, that fits. So I think mm-hmm. it's like anything else we do. It changes with who you are and where you are in your personal journey. And it changes with the relationship you're in.
Yeah.
And it does shift and move over time. And I think that is legitimate and valid.
And that's inevitable because this lifestyle is about growth. It's a constant evolution.
Absolutely.
You know, you... let's face it, you know, you don't stand still because you're always learning something new. There's always a new way of doing things, something new that you want to try.
Well, let's qualify that. You shouldn't stand still.
Well, you shouldn't, yes.
I think it's very easy for people to get into ruts, and then they look back and they go, God, I'm really bored, or I'm really dissatisfied, and they don't know why, and mm-hmm. it could be because they're standing still.
True.
That's a whole other episode, though.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing I thought about, and I could see this going both ways. So, like any other thing we do in BDSM, it's never good to just sort of rest on assumptions. And what I mean by that in terms of this conversation is, if you follow safe, sane, and consensual,
right,
and you ask this person you're negotiating a scene with or a partnership with or a power exchange or whatever you're working on there, and they go, yep, I follow safe, sane, and consensual too, that's not the end of the conversation.
No.
That's the very beginning. That's just finding your common ground to where you start the conversation. And I could easily see people, safe, sane, and consensual, rack or prick, going, well, I follow prick. Oh, I do too. Oh, okay, we know what that means. No.
Yeah.
Because everything is up for a personal interpretation.
Your perception is not my perception.
Exactly.
So even though it's the same thing, you're each going to have your own different interpretations. So
exactly.
It needs to be...
Exactly. Yes. And so if you are having that conversation and you've established, oh, okay, we both follow, you know, RAC, risk aware, consensual kink, we will talk in terms of that. Okay, these mm-hmm. are the risks. This is what consent means. That's the starting point of the conversation. That should
right.
never be, oh, look, done. We figured out our
yeah.
safety philosophies. Okay.
Oh,
we're
you
good.
Follow prick? Okay, good. We're yeah.
right. No.
Where's
no.
the whip?
Right. No. But it can be a good basis for having a conversation, hopefully in terms that you both understand or are on the same page about.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily true. But that leads me to the other thing I was thinking about. See, we've been taking, we'll talk about this in the bonus section more, but we've been taking walks every day. It's great for thinking. So I've got lots of thoughts. Almost as good as taking a shower for thinking, but not quite. The other thing I thought about is that having a different safety philosophy
mm-hmm.
should not immediately disqualify a person from being somebody you can negotiate something with.
Mm.
So they follow safe, sane, and consensual. You follow prick. That's not like one of you is a sadist who only likes impact play and the other one's a rope bunny. I mean,
yeah.
you know, there's common ground you can find
sure.
here. There's common ground if one of you is a sadist who only likes impact play and the other one's a rope bunny. But, you
yeah.
know, I needed some dichotomy there. And it's late at night and I'm tired and that's what I had. So I don't want anybody to think that it's the end of the conversation if you're the same, or that it's the end of the conversation if you are from two different philosophies.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately all that means is you have an understanding of how they might view the world based on your own perception of that definition and what safe, sane, and consensual means versus what rack means versus what prick means. It's still just the starting point of the conversation. And what it means is that when you know, and I said this in the blog post, like I said it specifically with rack, but you could certainly do it with prick too. Use it as a checklist. Like, oh,
right.
are we aware of the risks? And I pointed out, I think rightly, you shouldn't just be aware that there are risks. You should know what the risks are and how
right.
to avoid them. That's part of the conversation too. But so if you are from either rack or prick and you use it as kind of a checklist, you might use different language and different words from the other person
mm-hmm.
potentially. And it might be a teaching moment where you're like, they're like, what do you mean by that? Or they just say, oh, I hadn't really thought of it in those specific terms. That doesn't mean they hadn't actually thought of it before. They just didn't, that's not how they talked about it.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just another way to have the same conversation. It truly is. I know there are people, because I've come across them, who go, oh, safe, sane, and consensual. And then what they're doing is absolutely my idea of pure insanity. Get the fuck away from me. I wouldn't play with you if you were the last top on the planet. And I know those people exist, but I really don't think that it's like run rampant that all of us who are on safe, sane, and consensual are off doing unsafe, insane things. No. It's not the norm most of the time. Not most of the time.
No.
Because, again, it's the same thing about safe, sane, and consensual is the problem with safe, sane, and consensual. What is sane to me may be completely insane to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, okay, to you, edge play isn't sane, but lots of people do like edge play.
Exactly. And that's where I then come back to the argument for safe, sane, and consensual. It is just another way of saying, this is my version of safe, this is my version of sane.
Yeah.
And it's about having the conversations. And where safe, sane, and consensual falls apart as a safety philosophy is not in the concept of it, it's in how people handle it. It's in the fact that they're not communicating with each other or at all, just in general. Right. And that's where the problems lie, when there are assumptions made. And and that is the beauty of Rack and then Prick. Prick takes it, I think, sort of like I called it an evolution earlier, but sort of in steps and stages. Rack is a response to safe, sane, and consensual. Mm-hmm. Prick is a response to Rack. I'm sure, give it time. Maybe it's already out there and I'm not aware of it. There'll be something beyond Prick.
Yeah.
Part of it is why we have to tell people not to ingest shampoo. Because there will always be somebody who's pushing limits and either willfully or not getting the concept and needing it spelled out for them. The fact that somebody needs it spelled out for them is not a problem. That's why I say, if Prick speaks to you, if Rack speaks to you, and you go, yeah, that's it, that's the one that works for me, there's not a damn thing wrong with that. There's not.
No.
But it's also not cool for any of us and any of the philosophies to look at anybody else and go, really? That's the one? Are you sure about that? Because eventually there will be somebody who does a response to Prick and spells it out a little bit more, gets a little bit more detailed. And it will catch on, because there is a very real problem. In my opinion, the problem is communication and consent. But if this helps with that problem, then it's a valid solution.
Right.
It doesn't have to be for me. It's something I'm going to do in order for it to be valid. And I think that's where the conversation on safety breaks down in the community. Because people get really, really invested in the philosophy that they're following and why they, as individuals and as maybe as a couple or a polyfamily or whatever, a house, why they're following that. And they think that their reason is the best, perfect, most pure reason. And if somebody else doesn't use that reason and they follow something else, well, then they're clearly unsafe. They might be somebody you personally don't want to play with, and that is okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe their sense of safety and risk and consent is different than yours.
Right.
That's fine. We don't all have... I don't want to play with everybody, and nobody has to play with me either. As long as I'm not breaking any laws or hurting anybody, my version works for me, and your version works for you. But it really does, truly, at the core of it, all come down to communication. And that's the other reason we have to have it, because some people... just until you spell it out for them of exactly what they're supposed to do, they're not going to see it in those terms.
Right.
And so that's why we have the different ways of thinking about safety.
Mm-hmm.
And it truly is all a matter of finding the one that you go, yeah, that makes me comfortable. If I'm following Prick and I have this checklist in my head and I can go down that checklist with this other person I'm playing with or this person I'm in a partnership with and it ticks all those boxes, then I'm good. And then I know I'm good.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's what matters. What matters is you enter into the agreement with the other person, a scene, a relationship, a whatever, and you feel confident that you're getting what you want and what you need, and the other person's getting what they want and what they need, and everybody's having a good damn time together.
And everybody's happy.
That's what matters.
Yeah.
And I, with you at least, I will always be safe, sane, and consensual, because I go back to the thing we said at the beginning. Our ideas of safe and sane are right on par, okay? And if you suggest something to me that I do not feel safe or sane doing, I can very easily go, you're crazy. I don't mean that as a pejorative, but I am officially crazy. I've been tested, so I feel like I can use the word. So, I will say, that is nuts. No, I'm not doing that. And you will probably laugh because you only said it to get the reaction out of me.
That's half the fun.
Right. Let's go bungee jumping naked. There are some people who would hear that and go, let's go. And I'm over here going, nope, nope, uh-uh, nope. I am not meant to be naked and off the ground at the same time. Nope. Nope, not happening. I'm not flying through the air naked. Nope, not with just ropes. Nope, nope. And not even ropes, bungee cords, whatever. Right. Still, only thing I'd have on are these weird boots or something. No, and a harness. That's not sexy to me. But to somebody out there, that's sexy as fuck. That's kinky as hell. They'd be like, yeah, let's go. And I'd be like, nope, nope, nope. I'm feeling very unsafe right now.
What if I tied you in a harness and suspended you from the ceiling?
The whole time I'd be worried about the ceiling coming down.
Oh, God.
But see, that's the thing. You would, if you suggested that at random, I would look at you like, what? Because then I'd have questions. This is why safe, sane, and consensual works for me.
Right.
Because I'm going to go, okay, safety. Is it a load-bearing beam? How many points of what's the word I want? There's a word I want. Y'all can't see it, but it looks like I'm twisting the eye bolts. Yeah, eye bolts. Whatever. How many points are going to attachment are there going to be?
Yes.
And how am I going to be tied? And who's going to be doing the tying? Is it just going to be the two of us, or is there going to be a spotter there with you? And like, I'm going to have questions because that's how I'm wired. Not everybody's wired that way. Some people hear an idea and they rush into it and they don't think about it.
But it's good to have the questions.
It is good. But if you are like, so I'm not playing devil's advocate because I support this, but it's devil's advocate because it's not how I am. So if I could see how this might work, if you're the type of person who rushes into a thing without thinking about, without automatically asking those questions, and you decide that you're going to follow Rack, and you know, because you've taught yourself or trained yourself or just gotten used to it over time, that if it's a kinky thing, you have to apply Rack. And it's like a checklist in your head, right? Mm-hmm. And you go, well, risk aware. Oh, shit. That sounded really fun. Wait, what are the risks? And just asking the question.
Yeah.
Hopefully, fingers crossed, you're with somebody. The person suggesting it is able to go, okay, here are the risks. Here's what you need to know. Be very, very leery of a person you have not established hardcore trust with who says something like, it's fine, I got it, don't worry about it, right? Like, everything we do in BDSM has some potential risk.
Yes.
Even if it's very unlikely, it's still a potential and you need to be aware of it. Huh, there we go, Rack. Risk aware. You have to at least be aware of the potential risks.
Correct.
Even if it's not something that might impact you today, it could impact you a month from now.
Right.
If you're not aware of that and have that in your head, you can't make a safe decision. Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, even a spanking. I mean, many people look at spanking as, you know, something very innocuous. But, you know, you hit somebody in the wrong spot, you can cause some serious injury.
Sure. As the spanker, you have hurt your hand a couple, not seriously, but you have. You're like, that hurt. I got buns of steel over here. No, I don't. I got buns of mush, but it's fine.
Right. And yeah, that goes for either or.
Exactly. So back to the point. You're the type of person who rushes in, but you've taught yourself over time, or you've had a partner who helped you remember. Okay, risk aware. Let me go through this mental checklist. What are the risks? It slows you down. It stops you. A little bit from I could see that. I could absolutely see that would work. I could even see where prick would work and maybe even do better, because if you know in your head, oh shit, I need to know more about this, because personal responsibility is informed is part of it. Then I totally get that. So I can see where my way works for us and where it might not work for somebody else.
Right.
And I think that's the point in the larger conversation when you're talking to other people. What works for you doesn't have to work for anybody else. What works for me doesn't have to work for you. As long as what we're doing ultimately is communicating about, this is the thing we want to do, and here's what that means, and here are the risks, and go. Are we going to do it or not?
Right.
I mean, because if you notice on all of these methods, the first parts of these are about what are we going to do and are we okay with it? It's the last part of it that's about consent. I've talked about whether it's safe or sane. Do you consent? I'm aware of the risks. Do you consent?
Correct.
I'm informed and I take personal responsibility for what I'm about to do. Do we consent? You see, you have to go through the layers of, let's talk about the thing. Let's understand the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now do we consent?
Right.
And that I think regardless of the safety philosophy, for people who may be impulsive or, God knows, subs and sub frenzy, or just people who aren't thinking about it and don't really understand the risks of BDSM or whatever it might be, what they do is they go to yes first. Mm-hmm. And then they go back and go, oh, wait, you've got me trussed up here like a Christmas turkey. Is this safe? It's kind of a little late to be asking that question. Yeah. So, yeah, if it's, I think any philosophy you pick, if you think of it like a checklist,
mm-hmm.
it's find the one that fits your personality, that makes you comfortable.
Right.
And then if you have to write it down until you have it memorized, especially if you're new to negotiating scenes. And y'all, you hear this a lot in scene negotiation between tops and bottoms outside of established relationships. This absolutely exists within established relationships. Yeah. You know, I think it's more common or more prevalent when you're in a new relationship. Because
mm-hmm.
once you establish that relationship and you establish your patterns of how you introduce a new thing, it's very rarely, unless you just have like kind of a high protocol dynamic, it's very rarely a really strict negotiation thing. It's more of a nudge, nudge, hey, I want to, you know, tie you up and hang you from the living room ceiling. Is that okay? You know? I'm going to have questions. I don't care how long we've been together. So, you know, I think it's also a danger for established relationships to think, well, I don't need rack. I don't need prick. Maybe they have safe, sane, and consensual, but they don't actually think of the safe or sane part. They really are thinking about the consent part. Mm-hmm. Hey, I want to try this new kinky thing with you. Will you do it with me? Because we've been together for 100 years and we do everything together. And it's still a step-by-step process. Even if you're doing it in your head in a few minutes, and you're thinking, okay, do I feel safe? Do I have questions? What are the risks? Mm-hmm. What don't I know about this thing?
Right.
That change, how that's done changes as a relationship evolves, especially in a steady, long-term relationship. But it still needs to be part of it, you know?
Yeah.
Because next thing you know, you might be bungee jumping naked.
Cool.
And you're all hanging off the edge of a bridge going, how the fuck did I get here? This is both unsafe and insane.
From your point of view,
give me my fucking clothes back. I'm cold.
And how do you know it's cold?
If I'm outside and I'm in a high enough point I can fall off a bridge and bounce back up, not because I hit the ground, I'm assume I'm up a little high. It's gonna be a bit nippy.
Let's go to the Skyway. That's very high.
It's
You could bungee jump off it, and you ain't going to be cold.
Yeah, I am. It's windy up there. Have you been on the Skyway Bridge naked? No, you have not. And if you have, that's a whole separate story. I feel like this whole episode has just been off the rails. I don't feel like I have a shit ton to say about safety. Other than safety is important. Please play safe. It's... the bigger conversation is about safety, and what I'm going to keep saying it, because this is the thing I want to stick in people's minds. It doesn't matter which philosophy you pick. Pick the one that works for you.
Yes.
It's all about communication.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with you. If you're sitting down with a person that you don't really know or you've never played with and you've got to negotiate something and you're like, okay, how do you feel about safety? Are you safe? Ask a person, are you safe, sane, and consensual? Are you rack or you prick? They might look at you and go, what the fuck's rack or prick? That's a teaching moment, you know? Okay, rack means this, prick means that.
And even if they don't know the acronym for this, you know, you can still talk to them and find out what their philosophy is.
Exactly.
They may not adhere to any acronym.
That's true.
But, you know, what is their personal philosophy?
Right. How do they handle safety? How do they handle risk? How do they keep how is everybody going to stay safe in this scene? That is the conversation.
Right.
That truly is the conversation. And they may, you're right, you're absolutely right. They may never say any of the three. They might not even say safe, sane, and consensual. But they might be able to tell you, okay, let me tell you about my safety kit with my bondage. Let me tell you about what I do with impact play. Let me tell you what I do about this, I do about that. They may know exactly what they do, and who gives a fuck what they call it.
Right. I mean, as a dominant, a red flag to me when it comes to safety is a submissive that comes and says, I'd do anything.
Oh, God. They've just never met a sadistic enough dominant. And I have met enough, they'll go, okay, I'd like you to shave your head. Cut off a finger.
I want the left pinky finger.
But, you know, it doesn't even have to be that extreme. Be like, shave your fucking head. And a lot of... tell that to a sub with long ass hair. They're going to look at you like, what?
You said you'd do anything.
And go to work looking like Mr. Clean. Have a good day. Call me when you're bald. Now, the scary thing is, there are some who would.
I know.
There are some who would for different reasons, most of which are very sad. And I just want to take their submissives like and give them a hug and go, look, I'm going to need you to stop reading erotica for a while because, or at least bad erotica. I know some authors. I'm going to introduce you to some good erotica. And then we'll talk about your BDSM fantasies. But, you know, I think this is typical of all people everywhere in every walk of life. This is not a kink thing or a vanilla thing. Most people don't really want to think about the risks involved in something. It is why we have to tell people not to touch the blade on the lawnmower.
Yeah, right?
You know? But it's also an uncomfortable thing. And in BDSM, I can understand that because it's this, for many people when they're new, especially when they're new, it's about the fantasy, it's about the eroticism, it's about this naughty, naughty thing that they're desperate to try. And talking about how, oh, well, if we're not careful, rope could cut off your circulation and this could, you know, and if I whip you wrong, I could hit you in a kidney and that's a problem, right? It brings you out of the fantasy and forces you to confront the reality. Yes. And so I do not agree with and I do not condone and I want to help people
you
like
can,
this.
You can have the fantasy, but you have to face the reality.
But that's the thing. I understand why safety takes a back burner. I don't agree. It's wrong. It shouldn't be that way. We have to do our level best in the communities to educate new people about why the reality and talking about the reality does not actually kill the mood. It's like talking about what a dominant's going to do to you potentially so you can get consent. Does not kill the mood. It does not kill the scene. Because that's the fear. Right. And that's why people don't talk about safety. And they go, you want to do what to me? Hang me by my thumbnails from the ceiling? Okay. And you're like, no. You know, and those people do exist. I truly think they're not as common as many of us fear. I think we've come across a couple people like that. And then what happens is we extrapolate out and we go, oh, if these two people I'm talking to are like this, then all the new subs are like this or all the new doms are. And that's not true either.
No.
We all come from all backgrounds and all walks of life. Right. And we have our own personal experiences before. And yes, there are going to be some people where you go, oh, I need to help this one. Come, you know, bless their heart. Okay. Those people, yes, those people are going to exist. I really think that by just talking about the importance of safety, it's enough and destigmatizing it and demystifying it and teaching people that the fantasy is just that and the reality will never match up to the actual fantasy in that bad erotica you read. But it can also be better. It can also be much, much better because the reality where you talked about what could potentially happen or what is supposed to happen or down to the last detail of what's going to happen, depending on what kind of scene you're negotiating or what kind of relationship you have, that reality, when it happens, because there will still be things from a submissive perspective, I can know every step you're about to take. It will still surprise me. I will still have moments of, oh, I didn't expect that. Hmm. Oh, I feel this and I didn't expect that. There are still surprises there to be had. None of them are negative.
Right.
None of them. And the reality you don't want to have is where you walked in with a fantasy, you didn't discuss what was going to happen, you didn't talk about safety, and now you're hurting in a bad way. You're injured. Your partner's driving you to the ER to get something fixed because neither of y'all took the time to discuss this because it was too important to have the fantasy. Like that's the reality nobody wants. That's the outcome nobody wants. Much, much better. Have the conversation. Get all of the, you know, the parts where it kind of scares you a little bit. Mm-hmm. I always feel like, and I do this, I say this from this a submissive perspective and a masochist perspective. And so other subs may see it differently and other bottoms in other parts of BDSM may see it differently. But I want it to scare me just a little bit. Not so much that I'm sitting here questioning our sanity, because then it is not safe, sane, and consensual for me. But I want it to scare me a little bit in this sense of, oh, that's exciting. Can I handle it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to say it again for the second time, even though this is not an episode about this. That is where a safe word, a safe gesture, yeah, a safe something can come in handy, as well as what we've talked about in our safe word episodes, having a dominant who checks in, especially when you know you're doing something new or different, yeah, than the way you've normally done it.
And that touches on something that I've been thinking of with the prick, especially with the personal responsibility. Your responsibility does not end once the scene is over.
Sure.
Okay. Because there's aftercare.
Sure.
Which I believe should be part of the negotiated scene, whether there is or isn't. And I have heard and seen from a good number of submissives where they play with somebody, and we all know drop does not happen immediately. It could happen a day or two later. And they drop, they go to contact the top, because who's the first person you're going to reach out to?
Right, and, depending on the way they've negotiated, yeah.
Yeah, and they're like, I don't want to hear from you. We did our scene, it's done.
And see, and here's the thing. That, on one level, I kind of understand where a top who is not connected to the mm-hmm. person they're playing with, they're kind of allowed to have that philosophy. What they are not allowed to do is not tell you. That's part of the negotiations. That's right. Why you talk about, right, will there be aftercare? Will there not be aftercare? Can I call you a day or two, especially if I go through drop, or not? What that then should force you to do, if they say no, once we're done, I'll provide this, X amount of aftercare, but after that I'm done. One, that gives you, as the person negotiating with that person, the opportunity to go, that doesn't work for me. And the first time you won't know if it works for you or not.
Yeah.
The first time you go through it and you don't get what you need, you will learn, that did not work for me. And so then you negotiate better next time. But it gives you the opportunity to say, okay, that's not okay with me, I don't want to play that way. Or, okay, I accept those terms, I will make other arrangements.
Yes.
But again, that's... So the way I see how you're looking at prick makes sense to me. I think this might be the next evolution in prick, because the way I take personal responsibility to mean is the responsibility I have as a submissive to take care of me and make sure I know what the fuck's going
True.
On. And I know, I see what you're doing, and I agree with you. You're thinking of personal responsibility, not just to yourself and your own safety and your own awareness of what's going on, but especially as a dominant, your responsibility to the other person.
Yeah.
And that goes back to what we've talked about in the past. We have an episode on it and responsibility. As a submissive, I have a responsibility to you. Now, we tend to talk about this in terms of relationships, but there's also in terms of scenes, you have an expectation of what I will do. One of those is, I will, because of how we have negotiated, I will use a safe word if things are not going okay.
Correct.
When I'm incapable of using a safe word, or I forget, and that does happen, that's why they're not a failsafe, I will answer you honestly when you check in. So your responsibility to me is, you're going to check in with me if you're not 100% sure.
Right.
My responsibility is, as long as I can... speak.
Form a sentence.
Right. I am going to answer you honestly. I'm not going to tell you to keep going because I'm worried about disappointing you when I can't take anymore.
Right.
That is a very common submissive thing. Yes. They do not think of it. It's almost never talked about in terms of safety, but it absolutely is. I've never personally, let's put it that way, seen it talked about in terms of responsibility as a submissive to your dominant, or as a bottom to your top. Because if you are not giving your partner the right information about what the hell's happening right now, they could put you accidentally in an unsafe position, and ultimately it's your fault. If you tell yourself, oh, I can't safe word because I'll disappoint. You know what? Disappointment's a lot better than a damn broken arm or lost circulation.
Yep.
Or a bruised internal organ. Much, much better to be disappointed. And you know what? I do recognize I say this as somebody who's very comfortable and confident in my relationship. But it's some tough love here for my single submissives who play with different tops, or playing with tops and hoping they'll become your dominant or whatever it might be. If you safe word, or if they ask for a color and you go red, stop now, can't handle it, stop right now, and they are disappointed in you as a result, that is your sign to kick them to the fucking curb,
right,
and go find you somebody who's going to go, oh, okay, because I want you to have as good of a time as I'm having, so we're stopping everything to take care of you, because yeah. I see what you mean about personal responsibility, and it ties in quite neatly with the view you and I share about mm-hmm. responsibility in DS and BDSM.
It goes both ways.
It's not, yes, you have a personal responsibility to yourself in the sense that
right.
you need to be a thinking individual who understands the risks of what you're about to do. You have to understand them, and you have to say, I understand these risks, and either you accept them or you don't. You don't accept them, you don't move forward to the play. You do accept them, then you're saying, yes, there's a risk here. I get it. We're going to play anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, we absolutely, especially in terms of safety, have a responsibility to each other.
Right.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Wow.
I think I went on a rant.
Nah.
Did I go on a rant? I'll let the audience decide.
Not you.
I'm not sure where to end it.
I
was done 15 minutes ago, and you got me started. So I think we can blame this last 15 minutes on you.
Hey, I'll take it. I have broad shoulders. Ain't going to hurt me any.
So we'll recap and bottom line. You got, if you want to name your safety philosophy, then you've got three known options.
Yeah.
Safe, sane, and consensual. Risk-aware, consensual kink. Personal responsibility, informed, consensual kink. SSC, rack, and prick. If you have a safety philosophy that has no name, that's also legitimate. Whatever safety philosophy you adhere to is legitimate. If somebody else adheres to a different safety philosophy, they are also legitimate. What ultimately matters is that everybody's playing safe and people are consenting and know what the hell they're consenting
right.
about. So don't ever hide behind your safety philosophy if you're not willing to fucking communicate. Because bottom fucking line, it's all about communication.
Right.
It's about communication before you start the DS relationship, the scene, the whatever. It's about communication during, and it's about communication after. And that's what the fuck keeps everybody safe.
Correct.
There. Okay.
There.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got me riled up. I wasn't sure this topic would get me riled up. I was like, oh, yeah, safety. I totally get that. It's
all right. I got you riled up. Let's go.
Oh, no.
not that kind of riled
no,
up.
No, that's not a sexy hot riled up. No, my throat hurts from talking so much. My neck hurts now from twisting it to stare at you because
oh, boy.
I can't. So what I could do is just look at the mic and talk.
Yeah.
But we're having a conversation. So what y'all can't see out there is I'm looking him in the fucking eyes. You deserve a medal because I know I have an intense stare. I've got a resting bitch face from hell. So I can only imagine what it looks like when I am riled up. And I neither of us breaks eye contact, y'all. It can sound like I'm yelling to y'all, but I'm looking at him, so I can't imagine what it sounds like from the other side.
I used to stare down cats. You ain't nothing.
I'd like to think I'm above cats. Just a step above cats.
Yeah.
So we will have a brief bonus section.
Yes.
We did not get mail, but that's okay. So yeah, for everybody else who's like, yeah, I gotta go, I got shit to do. Cool.
Yep.
This is that point where you can do that. You won't miss anything from this point on.
Right.
So
okay, we good?
Vaguely.
Vaguely. All right.
Keep it kinky, y'all.
We'll see you next week. Daddy?
Yes, baby girl.
Can I talk to the crickets, please? I asked nicely.
You did.
Why are you
looking
at me like that?
Because you asked nicely.
Yeah, I know. I know you're thinking, what do you want? I'm a parent. I know.
Yes, you may, baby girl.
Thank you, Daddy. I don't have anything to say to the crickets.
No.
Other than thanks to little Rara for what I thought was, I was really concerned that this would be a really dry topic. And I will say probably the first 20 minutes, we was like, I'm not sure if any, hopefully people stuck around after the first 20 minutes. That might've been a rough first 20 minutes. Took us a minute to find our groove.
It did.
20 of them. your group. You know, and I think it's because we don't, and when I say we, I mean the universal we, not the royal we. We don't have conversations about this. People follow their style.
Yeah.
And then they don't really think about it anymore. And they, and when you're in an established relationship or you have somebody that you constantly play with, even if it's not a relationship kind of thing, but you're, that's your go-to person, you learn each other. And so then you don't think about these things anymore. And I, it was really not until this week that I started thinking about how I personally felt about safe, sane, and consensual and why that made so much sense to me and why every time I hear rack or prick, I kind of go, you know, it's not, you know, people can get really sensitive about it. It's not a to the people who choose it. It's a, that doesn't fit me. I can't walk around saying rack and prick. I certainly cannot. I cannot walk around saying prick. I cannot. There's something about it. It is
you
not.
You said it plenty tonight.
And it's like hurting the back of my tongue. I don't like it. But that's not a judgment call against anybody else. That's why it's one of those ways I know I'm a safe, sane, and consensual kind of girl. No shame. So, no, we didn't get mail this week.
No.
Well, that, it's funny. We did not get mail from any of you guys this week, and that is okay. Nothing wrong with that. We did get mail from Amazon.
Yes.
In the sense that I placed a really big order, and it came in. So we had to pay for our mail. But still.
Yep.
You got a new toy.
Yeah.
Not kinky, y'all.
No.
But coffee related.
Coffee related.
Coffee related.
I got a pour over coffee maker.
Yeah, which coffee maker, somebody out there is thinking, how does that work? How do you plug that in? No. He will be able to have coffee as long as he can get hot water in any scenario, y'all.
That's right.
Zombie apocalypse.
If I can light a fire and boil water, I will have coffee.
We truly are ready now for the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
We've got more coffee than is right for any two people to have. And now
he can never have enough coffee.
And you know, technically, prior to getting this pour over thing, you could have had coffee without electricity because we have a French press.
Yes,
I know.
I like the French press.
Mm.
I really do. It makes a good, a good tasting cup of coffee. I hate cleaning that thing.
I know.
I hate cleaning that thing.
That's why you got a submissive. Y'all should have seen the look you gave me.
Bingo.
Let me explain to you.
First, see, some people have, you know, service submissives to clean the house.
You got a baby girl.
Some have, you know, no, now I lost my train of thought.
It's late at night for us, yeah.
Cigar submissives.
Yes.
Okay.
A cigar service, I think I've seen it called.
I have a coffee submissive.
Yeah, but I feel like this was false advertising. So before he even introduced me to drinking coffee, y'all, we had moved in together. So we were living in our first crappy apartment together. It makes us sound like we were young.
Yeah,
we
right.
were not. This was just a few years ago. And he's like, I really like the French press and I haven't gotten to use it. And let me teach you how to make me a cup. And this was part of my submission is to do these things. So I was like, okay. And he taught me how to use a French press and it's not difficult. And then he was like, oh, and it's your responsibility to clean it up. Fuck. Okay. I'm sure this is really bad for the pipes, but I'm pouring all these grounds down the drain because it's an apartment.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that.
I know. But, but that's where they went. Because it was an apartment and we paid too much rent for that place. And so what's funny is probably 6 months after that, you got out of that habit because I waited for you to tell me how you wanted your coffee. I think it's when you got the Keurig for Christmas.
Right. Day. True.
And you were enamored with your Keurig where you could just have one cup of coffee at the touch of a literal button. but now I don't do coffee quite as much in the same way.
No.
And I haven't for a long time. And I just want to also point out, I also have not seen the French press in a long and that's how I just made the connection.
Ah.
It only took me 4 or 5 years to figure it out.
I used it once this year, 2018.
Right, once in now 5 months.
Right.
Because you would have had to clean that
out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's...
And I made a cup of coffee with the pour over tonight.
You did. It smelled good.
It was delicious. It was delicious.
So it's demonstrably better than other forms of brewing coffee?
Well, I followed literally to the instructions, okay?
That's why I love you. You are a person who actually reads the instruction manual.
And they say to use purified water, which kind of makes sense, especially here in Florida. You know, regardless of how well you filter your tap water, yeah. I mean, it's tap water. And I used some bottled water with it, boiled the water, and it was good. It was good. I barely put any sugar in it and just a little splash of cream.
I also noticed that nobody offered to make me any coffee.
And very easy to clean.
And nobody offered to make me any coffee. It's delicious. I'm keeping it all for myself.
I'm a coffee hoarder.
I know. Well, and I can tell you're kind of in your experimental phase because you were like, where's our coffee brew system, which is literally like a cloth sack that goes inside of a glass jar. It's a very complicated system. I know, they call it a sock. I didn't want anybody to like think athletic sock was sitting in a mason jar. But yeah, you've been very interested in cold brew coffee.
Yes.
Which I'm going to make this weekend.
Right.
I'm not a huge fan of cold brew. It's a little strong for me, but I do know how to make it so it's less strong
right. When
I drink it.
Yeah.
I know, but then, you know, people like laugh at me. The coffee snobs of the world named John Brownstone laugh at how I have to drink my coffee because I don't like my coffee to make hair grow on my chest. My hormones do that for me for free. So I don't need any help. So, yeah, it's mostly been coffee around here.
Yeah.
But I got my knockoff Fitbit.
Yes.
The one that didn't cost $100 and some odd because I didn't have $100 and some odd to pay for it. That cost $30.
I searched long and hard for something that was comparable.
And purple.
And purple.
I know. I appreciate that part. Because, you know, I would have rejected it out of hand if it had been any other color.
I had two criteria. One, it had to have good ratings.
Mm-hmm.
And two, it had to be purple.
And so far, it's counting my steps mostly accurately.
Yeah.
I mean, these things are always within a degree of whatever. But yeah. So, yeah. I'm cool.
Good.
Because I've been walking. In the month of April, my goal was 40,000 steps per week. But I only walk Monday through Friday. I take the weekends off. And now my goal is 50,000 a week through the month of May. And that is having to navigate around early morning doctor's appointments, late day doctor's appointments. But those seem to be decreasing now.
Right.
I have the epidural shot for my neck next week.
You,
and
you
hopefully
decided
that works.
To go ahead and do that. Yep.
Yes. Hopefully that works. And if it does, and I do all the things my physical therapist taught me to do, then I should be okay.
And we finally got your workstation set up properly.
I know. I'm not looking down at an awful angle.
We got a stand for her laptop to raise that up.
It's
at
eye level.
The screen is at eye level. And
lumbar support for my back.
Lumbar support for your back. And we had a Bluetooth keyboard.
Given to us.
And
so I can put my arms at the right position.
Correct.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. I kept thinking as my physical therapist was explaining to me, like, how I needed to be sitting for optimal
Skeletal muscular.
I'm saying it all fucked up. Musculoskeletal. There's a word. There's a hyphenated word. I'm getting it wrong. The medical professionals out there are laughing their ass off at me. I understood when she showed me the picture that I did not sit in the way that I should be sitting to work. And I, you know, sometimes I work like, 5 or 6 hours at a time. And sometimes I sit at a computer for 10 hours and I don't really get up. And, but I was like, that's fine. And I understand I can be quite dense about things. I can be really slow about things. You can almost see the light bulb go on over my head. And it really truly was today that I realized that I'd been sitting in a bad position for 4 solid years.
Yeah.
Over the course of 4 years, for true time taken off, where I didn't work at all for days at a time, I think I've done that twice. mostly when I went out of the country.
Right.
Where I was forced to not do it.
Correct.
Every other time I would always have my laptop with me. So even on a day I wasn't, quote, working, I would sit at a desk or a table for at least 2 hours and be in that same position every single day. Maybe I'd take a day off in the week from it. And it just occurred to me today that, oh, yeah, 4 solid years of that might cause a problem.
Huh.
Who'd have thought?
Imagine that. Who'd have thunk?
So, yeah, we fixed it.
Yeah.
Or we're fixing
right. it. Yeah.
So, nothing nothing else new, though, right?
Well, I'm going to pimp myself out a little
bit
here.
You should pimp yourself out. Yeah. The crickets love you.
I've been busy as a beaver in the shop.
You might want to be careful. How busy of what kind of beaver are we discussing here?
A busy one.
A busy
beaver.
Can you be a busy bee? Can you be a busy dominant man? Thinking beaver and my mind went somewhere and not where my mind.
I woodchuck. I've been chucking some wood.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days? Of course that's what the kids are calling it these days. And by kid, I mean 56-year-old grown men. Pimp yourself out, man.
You know, no, I've been busy in the shop, and I made a boatload of paddles.
You did. You did make a shit ton of paddles.
I actually have 4 types of paddles up now.
Yeah. You are still low on canes, though, right?
Just the one.
Okay.
The 5/8. But I have the material to pump some more of them out. Just got all that.
He said pump.
Who's the kid?
He's a woodchuck chucking his wood. Or he's a beaver. And I don't know where to go with that one. But he's pumping things out.
Anywho.
Anywho. You mean it.
Yeah, right. Anywho, yeah, I've got a bunch of paddles. Even a new one now, the lolly.
That's what you decided to call
it. Yeah, yeah. It's round on the top. With a hole in the center. Edges are rounded, so it's not as harsh as
the
first two paddles. And nice long handle. And overall, it's about 12 inches and packs a wallop.
My 12 inches pack a wallop. Okay. Sorry. I've had a lot of coffee today.
And you wonder why I didn't offer to make you a cup tonight.
We have decaf. That's almost not caffeinated. Kind of,
sort of, maybe.
Not really. No, and I can confirm that it's stingy, but it's also got it's weird because it's both stingy and thuddy, but it leaves, I don't mark very easily anymore.
No.
And I'm not talking about bruises. We have not played with any intensity that could cause bruises, but with even really light play, I get really pink, and the end that you're being hit with is round. It's a circle, and so then the pink marks left behind on my ass are giant red circles.
Yeah,
it's kind of fun.
And then with a white center.
Sometimes.
Yeah,
when you are really consistent and land in pretty much the same spot, yes, you do get that. Yeah.
So, and those are all up on KaylaLords.com/shop.
Yep. And last week we sent out like 5 boxes over the course of the week, all filled with kinky fuckery. And this week of the week we're recording in, we sent out 2 boxes of kinky fuckery and 2 boxes of your vanilla products.
Yeah.
Ah, that's kind of cool.
Yep.
So we're doing
fun.
Shit. I know.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
I've been having a good time.
Good. You should.
And I even cleaned up and straightened up my shop and move stuff around.
Right. I'm in here having existential crises about will I ever get all my work done and have a life? And he's a woodchucking beaver who's pumping away out there and having a grand old time doing it. I have to say I'm envious. I'm writing blog posts about how I have no libido. It's gone. It's gone. I'm thanking you for waking me up with sex and not trying to get me off and just lubing up and sliding into home. Yeah, we're kind of on different ends of the spectrum, I think, right now. And on that note, I think we're done.
I think we're done.
Okay, guys. We love you.
We love you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for being our crickets.
Yep. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks for calling yourselves crickets. I love the amount of people who, some people I've never heard from, who've never talked to before, and they'll go, and I'm a cricket. And I'm like, that's awesome. We love our crickets.
Yes, we do.
So thanks for listening to our rambles. Yep. I think we might have been a little rambly tonight from start to finish.
Yeah.
I hope that's okay.
I hope so.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Love you.
Love you. Thanks. Bye. I mean it.